Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode to be released this weekend and my interview with J.V. Hilliard. Now, he and I talk multiple instances of magic in this episode, but the one that struck me was J.V.'s two stories of his mother and father and what happened before they passed. His mother suffered from dementia, just like my father is right now, so he and I had much in common around that. Today is my father's birthday, and as I've told others in the last 6 months, he's declined much faster, so it was a joy today to be telling and reminding him of the stories of his life, instead of him telling us. I'm just going to tell one right now. My father did a lot of work overseas, and as my brother reminded us this totally hilarious story, my father arrived in a country and at the hotel went up to the concierge and asked to have his $50 bill in American money exchanged for the local currency. It took quite a while, and as he was wondering what was taking so long, all of a sudden, three or four men, each carrying suitcases, came out from a little room in the back of the hotel. And guess what? All those suitcases were the currency that my father had wanted. It's made for a really great family story ever since then. So right now, I'd like to read a poem that is particularly lovely before we get started, in honor of JV's mother and all those who are suffering with memory loss, and all those family members supporting them. From Laycon, Zaya Kemp, and Appetite for Miracles. Because there are people in our lives, rare, unexpected people, who don't just walk beside us through life, they witness our lives too. They hold our memories in their DNA. So that when one body forgets, the other is there to push rewind, to cue up the highlights reel on a love story that made it all worth it. Now, JV is going to introduce himself in this episode, but I do want to tell you he's an amazing conversationalist and such an interesting guy. Among many other things, he's an author of a series of books that have won multiple awards, but he's also super down to earth and very kind. He's absolutely a Renaissance human who excels in so very much. And all this makes him wonderfully more interesting. So now, my conversation with J.V. Hilliard.
My cousin has two children, they're twins, and the girl of the two is named Abby. And when she was younger, between 2 and 6, 2 and 7, she would have these visitations by this her imaginary friend named Billy. And, you know, of course, you're like, OK, well, what's Billy look like? And she's like, well, Billy rides a white horse and Billy carries a gun and Billy wears a blue shirt and or a blue jacket and things like that. As she got older, the attachment to the imaginary friend kind of went away. But, you know, my uncle swore that things would happen in the house all the time.
You know, the main thrust of this podcast, the main little nugget of it, or big nugget, depending, is just I ask every guest, I'd love to hear a story or for you to share a story or stories of anything in your life that's happened that you thought you've considered to be magical or miraculous, something that changed your life, maybe something that made you reconsider what it means to kind of be alive or in this body. I'd love to hear anything you'd like to share.
Yeah. So I have plenty of that, right? So I don't know where this is going to go, but I'll start with a few things. I've always thought that there are moments in your life that stay with you for whatever reason. And I've always thought that a good autobiography for me would be the string of quotes of things that have happened from people that affected me in their life, right? So, for example, my dad, about 20 years ago, my brother and I were still, you know, high school, college, he got cancer and passed away. And like he looked at me and said, "My wife, okay." And he did. I interpreted that as saying he's telling me to take care of my mom, right? But he couldn't, you know, mouth the words. But things like that, and you're like, whoa, you know. And it settles in when he said it. You're like, at the moment, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to take care of her. Like 2 weeks later, I'm like, wow, that really meant something, and it sticks with me. Or, you know, when you think you've seen a ghost, you know, those kind of things are a little weird. Now, I have never seen a ghost, but I will say this. My cousin, when they were younger, they live about a half a block from a cemetery, and not even that, it's catty corner to a cemetery. And my cousin has two children, they're twins, and the girl of the two is named Abby. And when she was younger, between 2 and 6, 2 and 7, she would have these visitations by this her imaginary friend named Billy. And, you know, of course, you're like, OK, well, what's Billy look like? And she's like, well, Billy rides a white horse, and Billy carries a gun, and Billy wears a blue shirt and or a blue jacket and things like that. As she got older, the attachment to the imaginary friend kind of went away. But, you know, my uncle swore that things would happen in the house all the time. Right. Like these magical things that would happen where stuff would disappear, stuff would get replaced. There's no way it would have moved. But then it did, all that other kind of stuff. And so they decided to do one of these little ghost things where you catch them on you know, recorder, electronic voice phenomenon, right? That's what it's called. They started doing it, and they captured these voices, and it prompted them to go visit the cemetery, because she would say, Billy lives there. Billy lives across the street. Billy lives there. And he went over, and of course, on the hill where we live, there was a Union and Civil War battle. And the first graves in that cemetery were Union soldiers and this like crazy woman that fought with the Union and stuff like that. And lo and behold, there was a cavalryman whose name was William, who fought for the Union, who had died there. So horse, blue shirt, William, Billy, home. It was like that kind of stuff. Like it just creeps you out. Right. Right. And about the last thing I'll say is and it's a touching one. Like 2 weeks ago, my mom passed away. 3 weeks ago now. But we knew for a long time, she was really deep into dementia. And there was this point where you could not talk to her. She was almost to the point of like being animalistic in the sense where she was eating ears off fluffy toys and trying to eat plastic. And that was her way of showing that she was hungry and stuff like that. But at the end, the very last day that I saw her before she passed, she pulled it together just to cry. It was almost her way of saying goodbye. And it's like, whoa, when that hits you, you're like, oh. And I told my brother about it. And he's like, she did the same thing to me. And then you celebrate that afterwards. You look at it and there's just like all those little weird things. And like you said, magical, you said things that'll remember, things that like hang with you. That hangs.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry about your mother.
It was a blessing. It was a blessing. She was so far gone.
Yeah. Oh, I don't, you know, my father has dementia and he's had it for quite a few years and it has been progressing slowly, but since last November to now, I've really noticed that he's diminished a lot quicker than the previous, let's say, 5 years. It just seems to have sped up quite a bit. And I'm not sure what's caused that, but I do look at it and wonder, where are we going with this? Because it doesn't look like a pretty place. It doesn't look like a place that I'd ever want my father to be in. And so, and also like a really, I don't know, vulnerable and scary place for him, you know? And so, and also like, thank you for sharing, because that's not an easy story to share.
No, and I'll say they have cliffs, right? So they'll level out for a while and then they'll fall off another cliff. And my mom was a patient she was a nurse for patients with Alzheimer's for over 30 years. And so she dealt with it and knew what was coming. She didn't know before they diagnosed. She thought she was just getting forgetful, a little older or whatever. And then all of a sudden she was unaware, right? It was like a magical switch went off. So she didn't know what was coming. But it's a horrible disease. It's the longest goodbye you'll ever have. I mean, she started it 7 years ago. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It is a rough thing to see as they go through that. Each stage gets worse and worse. And it's a mercy, you know, that she passed. So I'll put it that way.
Well, I certainly understand that. And I mean, bless her heart for working with people with Alzheimer's? Because that's you've
got it's tough. The patience you have to have for that is incredible. And not everybody can do that, right? Like, I couldn't do that. I'm a scumbag lobbyist, right? And she's like, I can't do what you do. I don't expect you to do what I do. Like, it's a blessing, right? Some people find that and they've got that and other people don't.
Thanks so very much to listening to this second episode this weekend. And please do check out the show notes for a link to JV's website. All the good stuff on his website is worth looking at and checking out. I need to thank him for telling me all of his stories, but in particular, telling me the stories of his parents. And once again, here we have a story of a child who can talk to ghosts. Or maybe has an imaginary friend that is suspiciously like someone down the road in the graveyard. Well, I did a little research and I found an explanation on Thought Catalog. Here's the explanation. You can take it or leave it. Children function at a higher level of consciousness than their adult counterparts, at an expanded level of consciousness. It is one that is closer to God consciousness, closer to the divine and to the spiritual realm. Over time, as they age, their consciousness will contract, and many of them will lose these abilities and gifts due to societal programming and trauma. I wish we could all see with the eyes of children. It would make the world a way more fun place. And speaking of fun, starting with the last episode, I'm going to be including a link to something I consider to be beautiful every single episode in the show notes. So yesterday's episode with Elizabeth, there's a sweet little link to an octopus dreaming. So if you want to dip your toe into a bit more beauty, click on the link there and prepare to be inspired. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like JV. Don't live in the box people create for you. You want to bake bread? Maybe open a bread shop? Do it. Or create pottery? Take a class. You want to write poetry? Do it and self-publish. You are not your occupations, but you are your dreams. So what are you dreaming about? Think about it, then make an action plan, and then do it. Live into your dreams.